Good morning. It's good to be with you all this morning on Happy New Year. Gong Hei Fat Choi. Sunning Phai Lok. It's good to gather the beginning of this Chinese New Year and celebrate together Christ's presence with us and all that God is doing. Anybody here born Year of the Rat? All right, Pastor Steve is. All right. We got a couple of people. For the longest time, I thought I was born in the Year of the Rat, but then when I moved here, I looked up the date because my birthday is in February, and my year, actually, I was born before Chinese New Year, so Year of the Pig is what I am now. But I don't know which is better, pig or rat. Kind of they both fit me, I think, but anyway, who would like a blessing today? All right. Some of you would, and some of you aren't sure. No, when I talk to people and often will ask them, do you want a blessing? I haven't had anybody turn me down, right? I think we have internally a need and a desire to be blessed, to receive a blessing. And I feel like in Hong Kong, we have a head start on understanding this concept. You know, during Chinese New Year, especially as we give blessings, as we receive blessings, it's also a part of how we were wired, how we were created to be blessed by God. What does it mean to be blessed by God? I love how Dallas Willard says it. He said, blessing is the projection of good into the life of another. You're projecting good. You're wanting good. You're willing good. And these aren't just words, but it's putting forth your will, your actions, your words for the good of another. And we need God's help to do that. Because only God is capable of doing that. And so we trust in God as we bless other people. Now, our passage today in Numbers is a familiar passage probably to you. We end many of our services with it. It'll be on your bulletin. It'll be on the screen. And this blessing was originally given from God to Moses and Moses to Aaron as a priestly blessing. And it was a blessing that was given at the end of the worship at the tabernacle services, and it's one that we often will end our service with. And so let's begin with that, and before we jump in, let's seek God's heart for us this morning. God, we pray that as we unpack your word, as we dig into scripture, God, that you will be speaking to us, that you'll be speaking through your word through us, God, and letting us know what we should receive from you today. God, as we give our praise to you, God, we come with hands open to receive from you. So may our hearts, our minds, our wills, God, be open to the work you want to do today. Amen. So number 6, 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Familiar words, right? Now, this scripture, this passage in particular, is the passage that we have the oldest manuscript from of any scripture at all. It's the oldest dated scripture, and it was found actually in the 1970s in a tomb, in a grave, that somebody had it rolled up in a cylinder and it had it with them. Actually in the grave. And so we know that this verse has been meaningful for thousands of years to people, and it's meaningful for us today. So let's unpack it a little bit, line by line. The Lord bless you. May the Lord bring good consistently into your life. May God delight in you. And he blesses us with this relationship. The Lord bless you with relationship with him. This word barak is the Hebrew word, and it's to bless, to bring good. And then the Lord bless you and keep you. Protection is another word for keep. May God build his protection around you. May your heart be secure in him. It's not the blessing that nothing bad will ever befall you, but it's a security of relationship, that you have a relationship with the God of the universe, with Yahweh, with the Creator, the Sustainer, the Redeemer. May that protect your heart. May you be able to sleep at night without worry. May we remember, as we were singing, that we're not slaves to fear, but we have an identity in Christ. May that give us a peace of mind to make His face shine upon you. Face is another word for God's presence, and shine is to enjoy. One of the most beautiful things is to imagine and to know that God's face shines down upon you. To not just read it in a verse, but to actually know it in your head and in your heart, that God will bless you with that and desires that. He's not looking down going, oh, I'm giving you black face, right? He's looking down and He's shining on you. That relational presence of God. When I think about that shining face of God, I think about holding a newborn. And I remember holding Cody when he was born, and he was crying, and he was kind of a mess, but I'm looking down at him, and I see this purity, this innocence, this goodness, and I can't help but smile. To enjoy Him and to see Him. Now, he can't comprehend that. He probably can't even hardly see me, right? But it's something I'm doing for Him. And through Jesus Christ, we can be seen with that same purity, that same innocence by God the Father. He sees Jesus' righteousness in us. He's not looking down thinking, I've messed up, what did I do? He's thinking, this is my creation. This is good. I enjoy you. And be gracious to you. Grace comes out of His pleasure for you. This overflow of God's goodness, undeserved, a gift that He desires for you to behold. The Lord lift up His countenance on you. Countenance is another word for face. It's like, may He pay attention to you. May He see you. Wherever you're at right now, you're not forgotten by God. He sees you. He looks into your eyes. He mentions face twice. God is wanting His people to know that we can have presence with Him, that He will have relationship with us. He wants us to know that. And what type of God are we having relationship with? An angry God out there, one we have to appease, one we're unsure of? No. A loving God who looks down with His face beaming and shining towards us. And finally, and give you peace. The reality of that blessing results in peace. It comes from the presence of God. That we can live in that atmosphere of blessing. And that atmosphere will bring peace. Peace, the word for that is shalom. Pastor Brenda talked about this a few weeks ago. It's holistic peace. It's wellness. It's thorough. It's completeness. Tim Keller talks about shalom, and he says it equals the fulfillment of your deepest desires. It's deep-rooted peace that we can live with God. So this is a blessing from God and what that looks like and how we can experience. And I think we all need a blessing. We all have a need for this in our lives. And we can actually give blessings as well. We can receive and we can bless. There's a family blessing, and we see this in Scripture, in patriarchal societies, where the father will bless usually the oldest child, and he'll commit to his well-being, which means he gives them resources to make sure that they will be able to fulfill the blessing that they're walking in. And God does the same to us. He commits to us. He gives us His Son. He gives us His Holy Spirit. He is committing to us. But we see this in cultures, and we see this in the Bible. So the blessing of a father wasn't just wishing them well. I hope everything goes okay. right? And God doesn't just stand at a distance hoping everything will be okay. He actually steps into our lives and gives the most valuable thing he can, his very life, for us. But sometimes we don't experience that. Sometimes we actually can live unblessed because we haven't received that affirmation, perhaps from a parent, perhaps from a grandparent, this type of security, this type of validation. You might be living as the unfavored son, the unfavored daughter, the unfavored daughter-in-law. Maybe feeling you never have measured up. Somebody else was the favorite. And that is never a good thing to encounter and to walk through. But we actually see this in Scripture as well. We see this with Jacob and Esau, brothers, twins, but Esau was born first, and he was the favorite of Isaac, his father. And Isaac did not try to conceal that Esau was his favorite. He's nearing the end of his life. He's almost blind. It's the time of the blessing. And so Jacob tricks his father into giving him the blessing that was meant for Esau. Because he was desperate for that affirmation. He was desperate for that word of you are good and I bless you and I want greatness for you. He was living as second best in his own family. So he wanted those words. He was desperate for it. So he deceives his father. He goes in and he dresses like Esau. Esau was a hairy guy, so I can kind of relate to Esau. And I was... I love children's ministries crafts, and one of our cousins, they were doing this in their church, and so they were mimicking the hairy arms of Esau. So they cut out, like, brown lunch bags, and they put brown yarn on them, and they put them on their arms. It was quite a sight. I was looking for a picture for that. It was this crazy scene. But this is what Jacob had done to trick his father. He dresses like him. He brings the food to Isaac that he knows Isaac will like just so he can get this affirmation. How did Jacob think this was going to turn out? That Esau wasn't going to find out? That Isaac wasn't going to find out. Of course he wasn't going to get all of his father's resources. He actually had to run for his life. He never saw his father again after this blessing. Where's mom? He lived in fear for many years until he finally reconciled with Esau. It cost him so much to try to get this blessing. And it's tragic when we grow up in environments and homes and situations where we don't get that blessing. We'll do anything for it. When I was in junior high, I was living with a lot of anger and looking for validation and affirmation in all the wrong places, hanging out with people who were looking for the same. And we were willing to do anything to feel like we fit in, that we connected, that we belonged. And it led me down a path of unhealthy choices, of stealing, of violence, of cutting school. But we will do so much to get that affirmation, not just as kids, as adults, in our workplaces, looking to it from a teacher, looking to it in unhealthy relationships sometimes. Somebody to say you matter. You're good. When we can receive a blessing from God, when we can receive his validation as not just a distant creator of the universe, but a personal God who desires to shine his face down upon us, to hold us and say, you are good, and I affirm you. Some of the wounds, some of the scars, some of what we've walked with can begin to be healed. And when I found my way back to God, I began to be healed of those things. Some of the lies I had believed about myself begin to disappear. people in the church begin to speak into me in ways that I long to be spoken into, and we can do the same for one another. We're in an interesting time in our city, in our church, and we had picked this topic a long time ago, and long before we knew about last week's announcement, long before we knew about coronavirus. And as I was walking past Pastor Brenda's office this week, I had just had a conversation with Anita and Erica about how we're going to do this blessing topic, and she didn't know about this, and she said, upside down blessings. And I was like, what? The title of your sermon, upside down blessings. And I was like, actually, that's a really good idea. She had no idea where I was taking with it, but that fit, because sometimes blessings come to us upside down. They don't seem like they're going to be blessings, and yet God has something else in mind. See, Jacob was blessed. He was going to be blessed. He felt like he had to steal back a blessing that God wanted to give to him. He wasn't patient for it. God still blessed Jacob, and he also blessed Esau, and he is going to bless you. He's going to bless our church. But sometimes we struggle to perceive it. Now, of course, we do the upside down part, right? With the character being upside down, this play on words with foo, with fortune, that fortune has arrived. But sometimes blessings can come from hard things, things that we don't initially perceive as a blessing. Jacob was clearly in a difficult situation growing up in a home being unfavored. And yet God's hand was upon him, even in the midst of Jacob deceiving his father. We see this with Joseph being sold by his family into slavery, but God's blessing was on Joseph and was going to work good out of a bad situation. And Joseph eventually saved his own family. And perhaps we see this in our life as well at times. Back in 2003 and 2004, Erica and I were beginning the adoption process, and this song was popular in that time, and we were able to sing these lyrics at the front of the process of adoption, and it's, blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Yes. Yes, God, your streams of abundance are flowing. You've led us down this path. We're excited about it. But the path was not so streams of abundance. It was twists and turns and drops, and maybe this won't happen, and maybe the door will close, and there's more paperwork, and it dragged on and on. And I was thinking, maybe this isn't even the path we're supposed to be on. Maybe we misheard God. And I remember, I wasn't the guy who was going to get emotional. I remember sharing with Erica, I said, maybe this adoption thing isn't even for us. And she was like shocked. She had more faith than I did in that moment that God's hand was upon us, that he would see us through. And he did. So blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. I began to be able to sing those words in that song before actually receiving the blessing of the child that God had put into our lives, because I knew that God was faithful. I could still turn around and say, bless your name, God, even though things aren't going perfectly or the way that I want them to go in this moment, you are here. I was looking up, I didn't know who wrote this song before this last week, but I figured somebody that had experienced suffering had written this song. And so I looked up, and it was Matt Redman and his wife Beth wrote this song in the midst of their own difficult circumstances. They had just begun a sabbatical and traveled from the UK to the US right after 9/11. And we're going from church to church and seeing what God was doing in the midst of that sorrow and that tragedy. They were also walking with their own burden, Beth and had experienced 3 miscarriages. During the writing of this song, God spoke to them, and they knew that they could continue to press into God even in the suffering. Now, Hong Kong has been in a difficult place these last 8 months, and now we continue to see with the coronavirus in China and the impact on us. Not an easy year for the city. And as a church, we're in a season, a new season. But there is sadness, perhaps some uncertainty, perhaps some anxiety. But there is also hope and expectation that God still is on the throne, that he is still in control. And as pastors, our hope for us in this season is that each of us can take a step closer to Christ. Whatever we're holding on to, whatever barrier might be in my way, that God would use this and allow us and help us to take a step closer to him. Maybe that's in trust. Maybe that's in faith. Maybe that's in setting down fears before God. I don't know, but I know that he wants us to draw closer to him and to one another in this time. We're going to shift gears a little bit and look at the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes are this wonderful beginning of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus is giving to his followers. And the word blessed is in it. The Bible has 2 different words for blessed. One blessed is the one we read before in the Numbers account, where it's God, bring blessing, bring goodness. It's projecting into the future. The one in this one means you are blessed. You are living as blessed. You have experienced and encountered blessedness, and you are living that out. And that's the word for blessed in this passage in Matthew. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Luke also speaks this teaching in a different way. And I won't do the whole thing, but he says, blessed are the poor. Blessed are those who hunger now. Blessed are those who weep now. Blessed are you when people hate you and insult you for the sake of my name. Now, the Beatitudes don't mean blessed are you when you do this, right? Because you're going to receive this, right? No, it's speaking into a blessed state of being right now. And what they're encountering and what they're walking through. The Beatitudes aren't a list of requirements for the kingdom, but they're a description of the people that are around Jesus. Jesus looks around at the crowd that day, and by the world standards, they were not blessed. The world would look at them and probably clearly say, unblessed. But Jesus speaks blessing into them and says, in fact, they are blessed. Erica had shared an article this week from Nadia Boltz-Weber, a pastor and an author in the U.S., and she describes the Beatitudes this way. She says, maybe Jesus was simply blessing the ones around him that day who didn't otherwise receive blessing, who had come to believe that for them, blessings were never be in the cards. And maybe you are feeling that way today. For whatever reason, for whatever circumstance. Jesus tells the crowd, you know, the world admires these things, these strengths, all of this other stuff. But I'm blessing you in your weakness today. The world may seek power, but I am blessing vulnerability. And he speaks those words of life. Jesus says, you probably aren't seen by the world, but I see you. Right now, right here, whatever you're walking in, Hong Kong, community church, you individually, he sees you. He knows you. And he blesses you. Now, we could probably end there. But I see I've got 5 more minutes on the clock, so no. A double blessing today. Because it doesn't just end with us receiving the blessing. There's another step that God desires for us, and it's that we are blessed, but we are blessed to bring a blessing as well. We can turn around and from the blessing God has given us, bless others. We'd talked about this, I don't remember, a few weeks ago. Pastor Steve had mentioned this, and I think this is so good, that blessings work better as a river instead of a reservoir. And that's true. They're meant to flow through us, right? But sometimes we can treat it like a reservoir where we just kind of hold on and keep them for ourselves, right? Because maybe the river will stop flowing, and so what if there's not enough? But they work better in this flow-through manner. In our Thursday life group, we're going through this John Ortberg series, and 2 weeks ago he said, what's the difference between somebody who's rich and somebody who's blessed? I thought, that's a good question. And he said, well, it's in the Christmas carol with the Scrooge. At the beginning of the story is rich, but he's not blessed. But by the end, he's living blessed. He's encountered, he's been changed, he's been transformed. And that's a little bit of the picture of what we can do, not just with financial resources, but our emotions, our encouragement, relationally. We can receive God's blessing, and we can give it back. This was the whole intention God had for Israel. We see in Genesis 12:2, it says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. They were meant to be a blessing for all nations, for the whole world. Now, they didn't quite get to that point, right? And we know the story of Israel. Things went sideways, but God's heart was for them to be a blessing to everybody. We receive it and we give it away. And I want to challenge you, in this season especially, who can you bless in this season? In your family? In your life group, in your workplace, in your school, in your community. Maybe it's a card of thanks or appreciation. Maybe it's stepping in tangible ways. I can remember back in 2007, Erica and I were beginning to get to know the church and discerning God's call here, and I was listening to the services on the podcast, and week after week, I saw this heart of blessing those on the outside, this blessing of outreach and the different ways that this city was partnering with organizations, that we were partnering with organizations in this city to bring a blessing, like the Chinese New Year elderly event, things like that, always looking to how can we flow through these blessings to others, and that spoke to us in the heart of this place. Shortly after we had arrived, we had the outbreak of the swine flu, and Erica and I were both working, but they'd closed the schools, much like they have now. We didn't have a helper. We were sort of trying to figure out what to do, and people were calling us, offering their help. What can we do? Do you want to bring your kids over to our place? They were blessing us with their resources and noticing us, and I've seen this time and time again in the church, in life groups. Those outside the church, that we can be blessings both financially, emotionally, and spiritually. And let's continue that flow, even in a season of uncertainty. Let us not become reservoirs, but let us be rivers of God's blessing, church, to the city. So God blesses us. He blesses us with that relationship and all that's entailed in having that relationship with God. Now, symbolically, we hold our hands like this when we receive a blessing at the end of the service, because it's a way of just sort of saying, I'm open, God, to what you have. And if we're holding our hands open, it means we're not clinging to something else, but we're actually ready to take hold of what God has. And that's what we can do in a blessing, is we can receive it. We can receive it. that Christ adopts us into his family, that he provides us with relational security for our hope, for our future. And I want to give us all the opportunity to receive a blessing today. Actually, there'll be multiple opportunities to do that. We'll have, I think, Anita and Erica up on stage to help us during this time. But I first want to give you an opportunity of silence to just sit with hands open, with your head bowed and eyes closed, and what God might have for you. And then I will lead us through a blessing that you can receive from God. Let us pray. God, I pray right now that as we just pause, God, I pray that you would speak words of blessing into each person here, that they would have hands to receive it, God. God, I pray against anything that's keeping them from that blessing. If they're holding on to something more tightly, God, may they be able to set that down and receive what you have this morning. God, I pray your blessing upon those who are working for peace and the flourishing in our city. God, blessed are the ones on the front lines of the pandemic, the healthcare workers, the nurses, the doctors, the officials. God, bless the people of Wuhan right now. God, may your presence be with them. Blessed are those, God, that have nothing to offer. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You are of heaven and Jesus blesses you. Blessed are those who have lost loved ones, for whom tears could fill an ocean. Blessed are those who have loved enough to know what loss feels like. Blessed are the mothers of the miscarried. Blessed are those who mourn, those who are grieving. Blessed are those who are uncertain about what the future holds in their lives, in our church, in this city. You are of heaven and Jesus blesses you. Blessed are those who no one else notices, the domestic helpers, the refugees, the street cleaners, the homeless. Blessed are the forgotten. Blessed are the unemployed, the unimpressive, the underrepresented. You are of heaven, and Jesus blesses you. Blessed are the wrongly accused, the ones who never catch a break, the ones for whom life is hard. For Jesus chose to surround himself with people like you. Blessed are the foster kids and the special needs kids and every other kid who just wants to feel safe and loved. Blessed are those who step between the bullies and the weak. Blessed are they who hear that they are forgiven. Blessed is everyone who has ever forgiven me when I didn't deserve it. Blessed are the merciful. You are of heaven, and Jesus blesses you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing a song that maybe some of you know and maybe others don't. It's called the Doxology, and it's a wonderful testament and proclamation that we can praise God, that he is the source of all blessings, and that he is a good God. And so as the team plays, may we stand to sing.